I am the architect. I created the Matrix.
Shall we play a game?
Okay, so good morning. Good morning to all my listeners, and thank you very much for listening today. We have a very special day. It's Monday. It's Columbus Day, as you know. Those of you who remember who Columbus is, he has something to do with 1492 or something like that. And of course, then it is also now Indigenous Persons Day. So I have a special guest with me today. And before I introduce him, you may remember the last few times we talked, you know, in 10 or 15 minutes with Bob or my podcast, I talked about the power of stories and how it's the basis for family culture. And it's basically for business. So I have Al Betts here. Al Betts is in Maryland, I guess. Al, how are you today?
Just great, Bob.
And where are you today, Al?
Today I am in New Windsor, Maryland, not too far from D.C.
Okay, great. So Al's from Maryland. He's not far from D.C. And he has a business that is right along what we've been talking about. So Al, tell us a little bit about your business.
Sure. My business is called Outfluence, and a component of Outfluence is a life history component where I love stories. And where that comes from is when I was a youngster growing up in the 60s, my family was really tight, really close together. We had a large family, and we would get together every Sunday, probably at my Aunt Rose and Uncle Joe's house. They had a swimming pool, and we just had a lot of fun, a lot of great food and music. And my brother was a musician, and we just had a ball. And so, you know, we shared stories, and I just remembered those days, and they were so much fun. And so I decided, I guess 15 years ago or so, that I wanted to begin to help people preserve their important life stories. And that's kind of what got me into this all. Mm-hmm. And I started doing the stories, Bob, the way most historians do them, a lot of research, a lot of interviews, and a lot of working with the text and adding imagery and all that sort of thing. Got to be very, very expensive. These were multiple thousands of dollars projects. And it just left out so many people who had great stories, just couldn't afford it. So in a nutshell, I got my program down to less than $1,000, considerably less than $1,000. I have a 3-hour interview program. I meet with people for an hour ahead of time to kind of prepare, tell them what to expect. Then we do a 3-hour interview, and then I produce to them. And by the way, we do the interview just like Bob and I often hold conversations via Zoom. So I don't have to leave my house and the customer doesn't have to leave their home. They can be where they're most comfortable, and we just share stories.
And I mean, do you transcribe the story? How is a story delivered in a document?
Yes. I really try and keep the cost down. So what I do is, in my previous life, I was still am really a court stenographer. So you've seen court reporters with their stenotype machine. And that's how I take it down. I take it down in real time so that by the time the interview is over, I already have the first draft of the booklet ready. So I just need to basically do a little bit of very, very light editing. I don't do a whole lot of editing. And then I send it to them digitally. So they receive it on their computer. And the beauty of this, Bob, is that, you know, every family these days has someone in it who's familiar with Word or various other programs to manipulate text, add imagery and that sort of thing. And so then it's up to them. It becomes a family project. I just want to capture that story, and then they can do whatever they want to do with it.
And how long is the document when you're finished? How many pages approximately?
It's usually about 100 pages, maybe a little bit more.
100 pages. Wow.
Yep.
That's 30,000 or 40,000 words, right?
Yeah, that's about right. And right. People love to talk once you can get them going. And I kind of see my job kind of as a facilitator. You know, people don't know the value of their stories, and they leave out the most important parts. And so my job is to ask them questions and make sure that I help them to dig a little bit back into their memory. Mm-hmm. I mean, I just did a story for a lady who was telling me about a time shortly after World War II, where her dad took her from New York to Germany, Austria, to visit some relatives. Her relatives lived in a bombed out building. The two buildings next to them were just rubble. Their building was obviously still standing. And so she basically told me what I just told you. And then she was ready to move on. And I said, well, wait. I said, did you ever ask her what it was like to live in a building like that? How did they get there? So she then proceeded to tell me the story, which included part of the story was when this friend of hers was in the middle of the war, leaving Germany to get out. Part of their journey involved them crawling on their tummies next to a war zone while bullets were whizzing over their head.
Wow.
Now that's an amazing story. And, mm-hmm. and people just, that's normal life for them. So they don't think it's that big a deal. So it's what they live through. And so those are the things that I try to capture for them.
Now, go ahead.
Just real quick. I did the story of my own family. My father passed on before I started doing this, but I did the story. I interviewed my mother, and I found out for the first time when I was 50 years old that the way my mom and dad met was he was a soldier in World War II, and my mother picked him out of a list of names that her church had. They were doing letters to the soldiers, so she just happened to pick his name. And when he came back, you know, the rest is history. That's how I came along. I'm the oldest of the children. And
that's a good example. I was just thinking as you said that, I was thinking, do I know how my mom and dad met? And the answer is no. And I'm wondering if my kids know how Helen and I met, and I've actually told them, but they may not remember. So just jumping around a bit, do you have to worry about any legal disclaimers? Does your customer sign up for anything, confidentiality or anything like that?
We do. I make sure they understand that this goes nowhere other than to them when I'm done with it. I also try and make sure that I try and keep them out of trouble so that they don't inadvertently say something that could get them in trouble. By trouble, I just mean, you know, these days, you know, people get upset. So you got to be careful what you say and who you identify. And so we try and sometimes keep things very general.
Anybody that has gone to you and said, Al, I want you to tell my story, but because it's so confidential, I don't want you to release it till after I die?
I did have a lady that whose story I did, and she was part of her family. It was involved in helping Jewish people escape from the Nazis during World War II. She was running some sort of an underground railroad, so to speak, I guess you'd call it. And she really didn't ask me not to release it, but I didn't. I mean, just again, sure. That's really her story to release.
Now, Al, could you comment on your view of the importance of a story in establishing family culture and then establishing the culture of a business?
For sure, because, you know, we all want to know where did we come from? How did this all happen? Why am I living in this town, not versus some other town? Why did my parents work in a blue collar job? Why aren't they, you know, white collar office people, that kind of thing? And so by telling these stories, you begin to really figure out where you came from, who you are, what your family is all about, and just the strength of family, what people have gone through to get where the family is today. And the same thing with a business. As you know, Bobby, you go through so many difficult days and so many ups and downs. You know, people just think, you know, you reach a certain level of success. That's what they see. They think, oh, wow, you know, Bob's been successful all of his life. Here it was. They have no idea what you went through. And so that's really helpful. I mean, I see it in my own family, especially these days, the younger members of the family, they just don't get it, unfortunately, in our society today, why it's so important to work so hard, why we all spend so much time at this thing called work, and what are all the great benefits that you get from hard work. I don't know if that answers your question, Bob, but that's kind of how I see it.
Sure. I am a big believer that the stories are the family culture, the stories that we pass around. In fact, since I've been doing this kind of podcast on stories, it's given me another viewpoint about being a grandparent and also holidays. And I'll give you two examples. First, as a grandparent, I realized when I talk to my grandkids, some of them don't know some of the history of the family. I ask them questions like about their dad or something, or about me. And so I find out that as a grandparent, one of my purposes in life is to make sure they know the family stories and the family culture and the principles that we've all lived by.
Right.
Sometimes when I'm talking to my grandparents and or my grandkids, and we'll talk about principles, and I say, look, you know, if you're ever any doubt about principles, the Ten Commandments are just some of the greatest principles to live by. You don't need to go much further than that. And the second thing, it's given me a new outlook on the holidays. I give an example. Thanksgiving's coming up. I love Thanksgiving with a hate because, you know, you got a lot of people and everybody's in the kitchen. And then I started thinking about it and I think, wait a minute, Thanksgiving is when we start sharing those stories. And it's a opportunity for me as an individual, but other people to share their stories. And that's the family culture. So, and I noticed sometimes that happens around Thanksgiving. Somebody will say, you know, do you remember when? Right. And that starts a whole series of stories. Oh yeah, I remember the great ski trip. Oh, I remember the great trip to Hawaii. Oh, I remember this struggle. And that's the other thing that I bring up, which you mentioned, is that all stories don't have to be, oh, it was a great vacation. Stories could be about, you know, that was a point in your family's life when we struggled, when we didn't have money, when we couldn't make the car payment. Right. And sometimes my grandkids would say, what? You couldn't make a car payment? Well, yeah. You struggled? Yeah. Oh my gosh. I didn't realize that. Yeah. I said at one time early on in my life, you know, not only could we make the car payment, the car died on the side of the road and we just left it there and walked.
Wow. Wow.
So, I mean, yeah. It's a very good point you brought up.
Those are great stories. If I have a second, Bob, let me just throw in one other quick thing here. I've done some stories for people who are in hospice. Those are my favorite stories. And I hope I can express it well. I've done about a half a dozen of them, I think. And in a couple of instances, you know, the people were very anxious to tell their story. They were ready to do it. A couple of other instances, the people were, you know, they were resigned to their fate, and it was difficult to get a smile out of them the first time I met with them. So I often spent the first meeting just being their friend and getting them to be comfortable with me. And then they open up. And it's such a fantastic gift that they leave for their family. And that's what they begin to realize, because I talked to them about that. And I did a story of a nurse who was passing away. And her family really didn't know her story. And so she began to talk about it. And it was so great as she started to get into the story and she started to brighten up. And you can see the smile return to her face. And those are my favorite stories, helping people at that last time. And, you know, I often wonder, I mean, they're in hospice and several of the people looked so healthy. I couldn't believe that this was, you know, they were so close to passing. And most of them passed within a couple of weeks of our interview. And it's just an amazing environment to be in. I'll never forget that.
Thanks, Al, for sharing that. Now, Al, if somebody wants to contact you about a story, how would they do that? Do you want to give people your email address or your phone number?
Sure. Thank you. Yeah, they can reach me at al.betz, B as in boy, E-T-Z, at outfluence.com. Or they can call me at 301-471-0948.
Now that was Al Betz.
0498.
Al, listen, thank you very much. Oh, you want to do it again? Just because I overtalked you there. What's the phone number?
301-471-0498. Thank you.
All right. That's Al Betz. And Al is busy in his life creating legacies for other people, because that's how I see some of these stories, is that everybody wants to leave something meaningful. And frankly, everybody can't leave $10 million to their kids like the Gates family, but everybody has a great story. And all the kids and the grandparents can all learn from those stories. So Al has a very meaningful activity in helping people create their legacy stories. So if you want to get involved in this, maybe learn how Al does it, maybe become an affiliate of Al's and do stories for other people, then give Al a call. Now that's the 10 or 15 minutes with Bob this morning. We're focused on stories this week. If you have a story you want to pass on, email it to me and I'll bring it up. But that's all for stories. Now tune in early next week, because I've got some great things on what I call, life as a full-time job, and why it is. Why is life a full-time job, and how we're better off approaching it that way, we'll become less frustrated. So Al, thanks very much for letting me talk to you today and letting my listeners listen to what you have to say. You have a great story yourself. So have a great day. Have a great Monday, and talk to you later.
Thanks for the opportunity, Bob.
All right.
Talk to you later.
Off, everybody. Have a good day. Have a good Columbus Day, and have a good Indigenous People Day. Bye-bye.